Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 481. And once again, I'm excited to tell you that you found one of the top 100 real estate marketing podcasts in the United States. Actually, we're number 86, if I remember correctly. And we want to be number one. And you're going to help us because you love us. And we know that you love us. So what we're going to ask you to do is wherever you're listening to the show, before we even get started, let's assume it's going to be awesome. Please leave us a comment. Please leave us a like. Please get involved in the platform that you're listening to this podcast on and say that these guys are somebody that you should listen to when it comes to real estate marketing. Now, without any further ado, today's subject is going to be why Google Business Profiles are quickly becoming one of the number one marketing tools for real estate agents in the United States. Before we dive into this delicious, meaty marketing topic that probably could change your business, we are first going to introduce the man who creates the magic of the Mail Right Show. He is my four-year podcast partner, an English bloke with the most Englishness that I know. Without any further ado, Jonathan Denwood, go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience, please.
Oh, thanks, Rob. I'm the joint founder of Mail Right. We are CRM, but a lot more. We offer lead generated functionality. We send out emails, text messages automatically. We've got social media calendar. We provide you a great looking website, IDX functionality if you need it, and a lot more. And at a really affordable price, at around $49 if you pay month to month. It's a great system. Back over to you, Rob.
All right. And my name is Robert Newman. I'm the founder of Inbound REM. I'm a 17-year vet of real estate marketing, and I've been a marketer my entire life. We focus on SEO. I've worked with companies like Agent Image and Inbound or Inforza, and for 9 years, I've helped run and establish a leading real estate SEO company in the space. Check us out, inboundrem.com. We have tons and tons of free content that you can download, get yourself involved with, about video, about the subject that we're going to talk about today, just about everything under the sun. And did I mention it's free? There's no excuses, folks. So let's dive into it. Number one on our list today is going to be, why don't you talk about a little bit about the evolution? Obviously, I'm going to add like a bit of sizzle behind you, but why do you feel like Google Business Profiles might be important for a real estate agent 2025, John?
Well, because Google offers it. If you fill it in and do everything that's on Robert's site, and also there's information on the MailRight website. We've both done individual videos on this, and in the podcast last year, we had a number of episodes, but I thought this year was time to talk about it again, Robert. And it's owned by Google. It's totally free. It's something every real estate agent should claim, fill in, and promote. Only 20% of any agents do anything with it, Robert. And it's, you shouldn't be one of those. So if you're looking to do something that can really help your business, which isn't expensive to do, this is one of the key things you can do this week, this month, that will really help your business. What do you reckon, Rob?
So let's cover like the elephant in the room, first of all. I've been getting a lot of questions about people when it comes to Google search share and how relevant that is for, like, should they still focus on the Google Business Profile? Well, Google just announced their yearly numbers. Revenue is up by 13%. A lot of stuff is up by significant percentages. One of the facts that they stated is that search share has not been deeply impacted by ChatGPT. That does not surprise me in the slightest. Once they announced Gemini and had an integrated search and AI experience, Google absolutely once again became the dominant player inside the search space. So first and foremost, local is more relevant than ever. We now know that Google is probably not going to be deeply impacted by the whole AI revolution. If anything, they might take a leading role in it. Having said that, why is that so important? Well, Google Business Profiles are a free tool. That's free. They are kind of a pain for real estate agents to set up, but they don't cost any money. So it's just time. And then once you've got that tool set up, it is not that complicated to understand how to rank the tool so that you get found for searches like Best Realtor Near Me, Realtors In, Realtor. Basically, all service-side searches go into your Google Business Profile. That's what gets to the top of the page, meaning that if you're interested in people finding you for your profession, like Realtor in Los Angeles, Realtor in Van Nuys, Realtor Near Me, if you happen to be within 5 to 10 miles of an audience that you care about, like in terms of your office or your home, these are all incredibly relevant ways that a Google Business Profile can and will drive you leads. We're going to explain why. We're going to explain why this is an all-in-one baked-in lead generation system given to you for free. All right.
Yeah. And I just want to add, Robert, it's a real way of competing with Zillow, with Realtor.com, with Home.com. You know, these are big website portals, but really Google doesn't really care because they can be enormous, but they're nothing to Google, are they? And Right. Local search is really important for Google. So if you do this right, you can compete when it comes to search with some of the biggest property portals out there, can't you?
You really can. So an interesting one of the lifts that John did for this particular episode, and I'm finding it really fascinating, John, is that it seems likely that we weren't able to verify this number specifically, but what we know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that for all of you listening to the show, the vast majority of agents have not actually claimed a real estate profile on Google. That's a fact. A fact I agree with. I don't care what the numbers say. That's what my experience shows me when I'm talking to real estate agents on the phone. The vast majority. Now, the sources that John looked at, which I will let him talk about, but basically it ranges from 20 to 60% of agents haven't claimed a profile.
Well, I did a general search, but also that's on your website, Robert.
Oh, cool. Well, then Ben did the work. Okay. The head of my content team, who's a very thorough analytical guy, if he found that data, then that exists. And it's funny, guys, because I don't know that. What I get my data from, John, is where Ben and I differ is I still talk to a ton of realtors person to person. And so what happens is I collect my data from actual live people calling me. Now, those numbers are slightly skewed because those realtors are oftentimes have listened to these subjects and already believed in what the strength was of the profile. So they're calling me. So I have probably about 70% of the people call me have profiles now.
Yeah, I just want to comment on that because when you open the conversation, you said you were getting questions about is Google search still going to be relevant? And I found it fascinating because the reason they're asking, well, you're getting these questions is the average agent, the majority haven't even claimed their Google profile, yet you're getting these agents ringing when you're having chats with them and they're bringing up that question because it's a subsector, isn't it? Because they're the type of agents that would ring you up, aren't they?
Yeah. That's very true. And so it's a subsector and everything you said is correct. People who call me are really proactive. They're light years ahead of most real estate agents, really, honestly, John. Because number one, you got to get through the resistance of calling somebody. And then number two, you got to be digitally savvy enough to follow me as a content producer. And I usually don't dumb my content down to the point that somebody who knows nothing can follow it. So you're already filtering out a lot. The bottom line here, though, ladies and gentlemen, is that despite how many times John and I have gotten on various stages and podiums and microphones and all that stuff to talk about this, the vast majority of agents aren't pursuing this, which is great. Because if you do, you're not up against as much competition as you think you are. Guaranteed. Just not.
I think the other factor, Robert, why a lot of agents don't do it is that this methodology, Google, which they made harder a couple of years ago, where they send out this card. You got to ring them up, claim it, and they send you a card. I think, and you got to have a physical address. And I think that kind of, I'm only surmising this, I might be totally wrong. I think it is a factor that puts off a few agents, because in a few years ago, you could just ring them, couldn't you, and claim it. But now you've got to go through this postcard business, haven't you?
Very true. And actually, they've moved that to video verification.
Oh, postcard. Okay.
Yeah, they put you on the phone with a real live person who wants to see, look around with you and see what your office looks like. There's no way to fake this process out anymore, that I know of at least. Like, you actually have to have an office. Like, you can, yes, no way. Like, and that's another thing that's happening is, as Google is getting bigger and growing this in this space, the amount of agents that are trying, who think it's important, but have signed up using bad details, like I've got, you know, we've got, when I say bad details, like an agent decides they're going to use a kind of a fake address, like a workspace address or something like that. Well, guess what? Google is checking and rechecking all that data as the Google business profile stuff gets more popular. And that just means that they are actually taking down a lot of profiles. Anything that's suspicious or shady in any way, they take those profiles down. So there, this is one of those things where a lot of people are not doing things the right way, and you can't get away with cutting corners anymore, John, not in any way, shape, or form. And that, by the way, eliminates another 10 or 15% of agents. So dropping their number down even further, because the amount of agents that are organized enough to communicate with a big media company like Google and follow through, and like if a problem occurs, is very minimal, like very minimal. Like you're talking like 8 out of 10 agents will not do it, even if they try to sign up.
So can I ask a question about this? So if you're an agent with a physical franchise or established brokerage, if you're in a shared office and you utilize the brokerage address, is that going to work or not work? You know, do you really need a total individual address?
If you're part of a brokerage and the brokerage has an office, that will work. If you are an independent, that's where it gets sticky. If you're an independent, like who works from home, things like that, that's where the proof gets harder. Google now wants to see signage, proper signage, not a little sign that you posted on your door, proper signage. And so office space becomes an actual de facto office. Now, there are ways to get around that. And that is where, like, you do a deeper dive into content like ours, because it's very individualized. Like, some of the time you can get an agent on the phone who will look at a sign that you made for your house or for your door. Some of the time they accept incorporation documents. So if you have an incorporation at this location and you can prove it in writing and show the agent on the phone, then verify your identity, all of that gets you through the door in terms of registration. It just takes a while to find an agent that spends that kind of time with you. And then, you know, you get the address registered correctly. And God forbid, should you decide to change it. Like, for those of you who are listening to the show, if you are extremely nomadic, this is probably not the strategy. So understand that while John and I are saying, hey, this is a really important critical strategy, because it is not meant for people that that don't have like a consistent and very disciplined marketing mindset. If you don't have a stable place to work from, if you can't use your brokerage's address, like I can go on and on, then this may not be for you, because it might just be a lot of sound and thunder that ends up having you waste a lot of your time and money. Now, if you happen to be stable and have an address and a broker's address and all those things, then because of everything we're talking about, the difficulty of getting in, how many agents aren't organized, how many agents just simply don't do it, this is absolutely hands down the most exciting thing you can look at. Like, no doubt about it. It is a low hanging piece of fruit that for the right agents is going to be super easy to pick. Right. Let's move on to number two.
Sorry, well, I think we need to go for our break, actually. We've gone through 15 minutes in the intro, but we have covered a fair whack of stuff, haven't we?
Okay, cool. We're going to go to break, and as I already said, we would love your help. If we ever do you a service, if we give you some information that you didn't previously had that you think is interesting or is going to help your career in any way, shape, or form, I am asking, nay, begging for you to please hit that like button, share button, comment button, whatever the button is on whatever platform you're listening to us, and help us become the number one real estate marketing show in the United States. John and I think we deserve it. No, I'm just kidding. We would love it if you'd help us get to as high as we can go with the information.
I think we deserve to be in the top 10, don't we?
Yeah, probably. I do agree with that. We should not be number 86. We should be way higher on the list. All right. But without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. We really appreciate you giving us your earballs inside this podcast. And we're looking forward to entertaining and bedazzling you with marketing information when we come back from break.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRight. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-right.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's episode number 481 of the Mail Right podcast. You've got Jonathan Dinwood, you've got Robert Newman, and we are here to amaze you with the amount of incredible information that we have about using Google Business Profiles to propel your business forward. And by that, I mean make money, have ROI. So without any further ado, we've already covered number two. John, local keyword searches, finding an agent at growing at an astonishing rate. And even though I know that I published a lot of information on this, why don't you go ahead and lead us out on this topic?
No, I need your help with this because this comes from your website. So,
okay. So the numbers are 300 to 500%. Local is growing at 300 to 500%. It is not stat. It is the fastest growing category of search, bar none. It's super. And it's not just that the search is growing in terms of people using these keywords on cell phones. What is more amazing about this is that Google is getting better and better, and they may very well have applied an AI learning mechanism to this. And what they're doing is they're getting better and better at understanding lifestyle searches that connect into local interests. Okay. And that's why the search category is growing. What they throw into Google Local and Google Maps is a growing pie of semantic-based keywords. And that is we don't know at the clip that they're doing it, but my guess is they are literally adding like 20, 30% of keywords into this pie, because I don't know about everybody else on this call.
What do you precisely mean they're adding the keywords to the pie?
Okay. So I'll give this an example. For those of you who can get to review the YouTube video, if you can, it'll be on. Oh, come on, gotta be kidding me! It'll be on John's YouTube channel. That's the mail-right.com website or YouTube. All right. So what I mean by local is or adding you to the pulling this up on my phone. Please forgive me, guys. I wasn't prepared to do this. All right. So this, when you have a phone like mine, like this, this is my Google.
You can't really see it, Rob, actually.
I know. I'm trying to. There we go. All right. Kind of see it a little bit. Yeah. All right. This is my Google, like, local on one of today's, like, really recent devices. So this would be the same view that you'd have on an iPad or any other device, okay, where I open up Google Local Search. Now, what I mean is that when we say, let's just say Venice Beach. Let's just say that we put in the search Venice Beach, which is a location in Southern California that's quite popular during the summers. It's a beach city. So if I was to just do the search Venice Beach off of traditional Google search bar, which is what I will show all of you, you're going to see that it's probably going to connect into a local search result. So I do Venice Beach, okay? And now what you get at the top is you get a lot of tours and a carousel. Okay, there we go. All right. Kind of like this. All right.
Yeah.
So, and the reason that all of that is important is that, believe it or not, those carousels and the whole search page, a good percentage of it is local in nature. What they've done is they've taken this search result that is based on an area and they've turned half of it into a map-based result and half of it into YouTube videos. That is where all of lifestyle stuff is going. It's kind of becoming, so population, things to do, places to stay, that's all part of this search result, which you can't really see on my phone. Sorry, guys. But all those things are hyper-local or maps-based search results. So every time you click something, they take you into Google Maps, which is part of the local ecosphere. It just is a fancy way of saying that Google is figuring out more and more ways to slip people into the Google Maps function, the local function, because it all relates to what the usage is on handheld devices, which is going up every year. So the more that cell phones dominate the search arena, the more that local becomes relevant. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So when you guys are thinking about this, think about it this way, everybody listening to the show. If you're on your handheld device and you're out there and you're doing any searches, like if it's me, ever, like honestly, my phone is always on when I'm in the car. I'm usually mapping somewhere to go, things like that. That whole ecosphere is the mapping system grows better as Google continues to add features and functions like Waze functionality, the police are ahead of you, things like that. And it's getting to be a stickier and stickier environment, that local mapping functionality inside the phone. That is the ecosphere that, by the way, if you're already involved in your local mapping feature on the phone, there's going to be a natural inclination to stay in that search bar and do a search about real estate. And that's what's happening. Lots and lots of traditional searches are being thrown into the map search functions. For Google, it's a separate space inside search. So when you do a real estate search like homes for sale near me or homes for sale in city name, but you do it inside local maps, you get local service providers as part of the search results. It's a very interesting and growing. I'm sorry, this is a very long explanation, everybody. No, but
I think it's great.
Local is growing at 300 to 500%, man. It's insane. And it's growing in ways that people aren't expecting. You can get your local business profile in front of a search like homes for sale in Tampa, as an example. Like you can do that. It's the volume on those traditional searches is still a little lower, but you'd be surprised how fast it's all transferring. And why is Google transferring it? Everybody listening to the show, John, Google is doing this on purpose. This isn't an accidental result. Care to guess why?
Well, I suppose they can advertise on it and monetize it more.
It is simply a fact that this part of the Google ecosphere is not going to be competed with by any AI company out there right now. That's why. Because they have a satellite system in place. And the only other person that has a satellite system in place that's even remotely close to equivalent to Google's is Starlink. And they're not competing with each other for search. So you've got no competition. And the only worry that Google has right now is that Elon Musk is going to rent his Starlink system out to a company like Apple and then compete. Because other than that, there's not even the threat of competition inside this local space. Okay? So that's, and companies that are competing are like Waze and people like that. And they're all using other people's satellite systems in order to provide their results. And the bottom line is that in terms of search, in terms of competition, in terms of everything, Google knows that where they lead and where they lead without even a shadow of a doubt is in this local mapping space on cell phones. So you're going to see lots of moves for them to expand that lead. And part of that is driving more search into the local ecosphere. All right. It's totally free to set up and manage. We kind of covered number three. I'm going to breeze past it if you don't mind, John.
Yeah.
Number four, GBPs are an evergreen lead generation strategy. So why don't you cover the evergreen part and then I'll cover the GBP part?
Well, I think a lot of it, if you fill in the profile with all the correct details, a lot of that, unless something fundamentally changes, you're not going to have to change all that regularly. I think uploading images and videos from your phone so they're tagged, geo-tagged, is a great thing. And I think putting up some regular content is a good idea, but a lot of what you're going to be putting up, you only have to do once. So that's why it's evergreen.
Very true. So profiles tend to be evergreen. The strategy is absolutely evergreen. Evergreen just means it's going to last. And Google has been consistently one of the top lead generation mechanisms. Like, you've got a couple of very big digital media companies that have changed the game. You've got Facebook and you've got Google, and Google is winning. And why do I say that? I'm going to share something with everybody, you included, John, that's interesting. I just noticed, it may have been present for a while, but I've just noticed that Facebook actually is now allowing Google to crawl Instagram. That's a first.
Yeah.
Okay. They've never done that, ever. I know that for sure. So all of a sudden now Instagram posts are becoming present in Google searches. There's really only two companies that are worth talking about if you're going to talk about a digital lead gen strategy on platforms that are free. That's Instagram and Facebook owned companies, and that's Google and Google dominated companies. And so when you look at these two strategies,
what about what about Reddit?
Reddit is, to me, just a subsection of Google. You find it, you find Reddit threads on Google.
Yeah, you got a point. Yeah.
But you could definitely say, like, when we start getting into like Substack strategies, really small focus strategies, there's a million of them. HomeLight, Zillow, Trulia, like all that. Like, there's, yeah. But Google controls the flow of traffic to every single one of these websites. So,
yeah, I see your point.
All right. So GPV are like, so when you say evergreen and Google controls traffic to everywhere and you as a user can get free stuff, free videos, free profiles, free everything, there's really almost like, I consider Google to be much more evergreen than Facebook because of the way they design the service. Yeah. So there's a lot of durability in the strategy. You create a video on a Google business profile or something like that. It just depends on where you're at and what's going on. If you're in a major metro market, it's unlikely that a single video is really going to move the needle. But if you're in a smaller market like Longview, Texas, we've got videos for certain clients in and around those areas that last for years and draw calls in for years. And it's just recently that a video I did 9 years ago on my homepage on my website stopped kind of generating calls. And it could be the market. Like, it's really evergreen. If you do something well and people really like it, it can get you calls for a long time. All right. Number five, they're highly effective tools for achieving, for actualizing GPP potential. So I'm just going to jump into this one, John. I'm going to say the tools that we usually use when it comes to Google are things that measure and analyze performance. What I use for local GPP is I use Bright Local. And there's many other tools. They're not the only ones. There's Local Falcon. There's Yext. There's so many tools. Why do I use Bright Local? Well, they came up with the original pin drop thing that everybody uses when they do local. Like, that was Bright Local's idea. They came up with the best looking way of showing distant related searches from a certain start point. And they were the first to do it. I respect people that get out ahead of everybody else. It tends to impress me. And so there's plenty of other companies that you can go to. There's Darren Shaw with White Spark, and he's got some cool tools that he's made. But there's lots of places to go. I would suggest, if you're looking for generalized information about local, Darren Shaw probably has been talking about local the longest and the best. And so I might check him out over at White Spark. Does he know everything about ranking? No. I think he's gotten too focused on building up a company, because I've noticed his advice tends to stay in the generalized category. And I'm sometimes not impressed by his talking points. But he's definitely been doing it the longest. He has a great track record. He does say a lot of good things. So, Darren Shaw. John, what would you, did I cover everything that you would have covered, or do you have some people to ask?
That's a good question. Is Moss Local and submitting to all the directories, which is more outside the Google profile, but I do know that the Google profile wants to see, because There's the world of the profile and filling it in, but then they look at your website, they look at other indicators to judge how active you are and how real you are, aren't there? So is it important to still submit details to all these directories or not really?
I think they've changed the weight. I think that the recent leak of data, like with that talks about NavBoost, and we know they use NavBoost in local, which is click data, but fancy word for click data. I think they've moved deeply to making click data that like let's say 70% of your score.
Oh, wow.
It's like you regular user time engagement. So do directories count? Absolutely. They count. They do count. I think that the way that Google has moved their ranking, what I've noticed is like a gateway thing. If you don't have a certain number of directories, they don't rank you at all. But the difference between 20 and 200 directories is minimal. Yeah. That's my guess. It's very educated guess, everybody, but it is a guess. So just understand that. Okay.
You think they also, if you've got a half decent website and you're putting, you know, reasonable amount of content on it, do you think they crawl the website and it affects the local?
Absolutely does. I don't think I know. Right. It does. Okay. It's like 10% of your score. You're giving yourself about a 10% advantage if you have just a standard out of the box website that mentions some services. If you actually have a website that's designed specifically with local in mind, you're probably actually adding about 20-25% chance to rank. I'd have to go back through my case studies, but I created a website product for this, and I don't think that we're missing anybody. And I've noticed a much more rapid speed to ranking has been highly, wildly improved by these website products. Now, whether or not that's consistent, I just don't know, because I only have like 6 or 7 case studies. So who knows? But so far, websites seem to matter more than I even originally thought.
Because I've got to tell you, I've been staying in an area where I bought some property, and I've made some new friends in the area quite rapidly, and they've been very helpful. But I've also having to hire a few local services, mm-hmm. and basically, I use Google search, Google local search, and then people come up, and I go to the website, and I get 2 to 3. Quotes, but it's only the people that show up and that got a reasonable website. But I suppose I don't know, because I'm in the game, I don't know, I'm a bit more fussier, but I don't expect a fantastic looking website, but I do expect they have the basic contact details and they have a few reviews and they get to the nitty of what they're offering, and they've got the times when they're open or when I can contact them.
Service lists, times you're open and closed, and local area information as part of your website are all the things that Google really, I am 100% sure they look at them, John, in terms of ranking. So if you don't have a website, number one, you're handcuffing yourself a little bit. Does that mean you can't rank your local profile? No, it doesn't. And does it mean that somebody else that has a website has an absolute lead over you? They absolutely do. No doubt about it. And it could be significant depending on what their website looks like. If it covers all these details like we're talking about, if it has reviews connected to it, if it does a good job of giving you local information, they now have a significant lead over you. And even no matter what work you do on your personal like profile, you might have a hard time catching somebody like that. So I understand what you're saying entirely, John, and I think that's exactly why Google makes it that way. I think that people with websites provide more data, are more useful, and probably Google has a natural inclination to give them an advantage because it's better for the consumer. Last but not least, GBP is a fantastic way to generate seller leads. This is a thing that I hope John pulled off my website. If he didn't pull it off my website, okay.
I did.
So here's what you all need to know about GPP and seller leads. There's lots of services out there, Fellow and many other services that all kind of basically target sellers. That's it. Like there's so many different things that talk about seller leads. Well, I need everybody on the out there in the world to use logic. We always, the mythos is that real estate marketers have figured out, are magical creatures, and we figured out ways, things that you haven't. For as long as I've been in this business, people have been using what is your home worth, like lead forms, to get seller leads, right? That's always been what they've done. It's such a tried and true strategy that people that bought or sold a home 15 years ago actually know what the strategy is. It's so beating a dead horse, I've got no words for it. So when people are talking to you about that strategy, you got to wonder, where are all the people that are sick of it going? And the answer is pretty simple. They're just researching a really good realtor. They're just saying, who is the best realtor in this area? Because I want a consult. Selling your home is different than buying. Buying usually comes on a timeline. You decide you're going to buy, you start looking and go out and buy. So oftentimes sellers are kind of like inspired into selling. They're trying to time the market. They're trying to look at these things, but they're not usually under this huge haste. Like, you should probably sell your home right now. It's probably the top of the market, but we've been at the top of the market for 2 years right now. So there's a bubble. John just sold his property. So he...
Oh, no, I haven't sold. I've just bought.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
I bought in Kansas because I'm trying to... I got a good deal offered to me, and I'm trying to mitigate my risk level because the prices in Northern Nevada over the last 3 years went up by 40%. That's what you call a bubble, isn't it?
Yeah. And, well, hopefully you're riding that bubble. All right. So in terms of this GBB stuff, though, and seller leads, the thing about what I've noticed is that we get 50 to 70% of the calls that we get off these profiles are something related to listing your home. In other words, seller leads, not buyer leads. This is one of the best things about these profiles. You're attracting a lot of people that are local to you that are just looking to refresh their memory on who a good real estate agent is. And they're going to ask the questions about selling and listing their home. Almost like I would say that 60 to 80% of the seller people that don't have a professional real estate agent already in their circle of friends or family, they're all going to local. I would like Google Business Local. Who is the best realtor near me? Who should I list my home with? These are all searches that somebody might list that would pull up this search category, meaning that it's a fantastic way to get seller leads, if that matters to you. That's all I got, John. How about you? You want to?
No, this wrap it up, Rob.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the show. John and I'm going to say this every single time you listen. I hope you understand why we are number 86 in the United States. Is that a lot of people have liked what we had to say. A shocking amount of you actually liked or shared our stuff on platforms that John and I, frankly, had never even heard of. So when we found the list on Million Podcasts and we were up there, I have this thing where I compete. John is not quite as insane as I am. I'm insane. So I want to be number one. I would love it if you do us a favor and help us. I will help you. If you go to inboundrem.com, you'll get all this free stuff. If you want to reach out to me at robert@inboundrem.com, I will help you answer some questions if you want them. But in the meantime, help us. Help us sponsor this show. Help us keep the lights on. Help us stay in business. Help us grow our businesses. Like and share the podcast. You don't need to give John and I any business. We'd really appreciate it. It would help us a lot. John, over to you.
Yeah, and the great way of doing that, folks, is to go to iTunes on your app, on your phone, use the iTunes app, or if you're listening in Spotify, use the Spotify app and leave us a review. It just takes you a minute at the most. It's really easy on the iTunes or the Spotify app on iOS or Android. And it really does help us. So if you could do that, both me and Robert would be really appreciative. Over to you, Rob.
All right, that's it. That's our show. John, how do you want people to reach out to you, man? You didn't cover that.
Just go to themail-right.com and have a look. And you can book a chat with me or my partner in crime.
So, John, in terms of conversations, like John has like an expensive tool. A deep knowledge of what's available in the WordPress world, a partner that is a Facebook expert, and him his own incredibly deep toolkit when it comes to such a wide variety of subjects related to digital. I don't actually have time to list them all. So if any of you are looking for an inexpensive tool, or you're trying to batten down your budget while the market is going fucking south, then you can call John and get some good advice and take a look at his toolkit, because it's a pretty good one and certainly cost effective. All right. I've been Robert Newman. I've been the guy talking more than the other guy on the show. The English bloke has been Jonathan Dinwood. We both appreciate your time today, your earballs. Thank you so much for listening to us. You are the very best. And John, whenever you're ready, take us offline.